Text 970-242-1340.
We heard it on the radio.
It's the Jim Davis Show on the team.
O'clock, rise and shine pile. Welcome in or welcome back to the Jim Davis Show. A practice squad edition with Cake and Max today as Jim and the Buckeye Boy are celebrating the victory of one Jim Davis, your 2024 outstanding media person for interscholastic sports coverage, courtesy of the Colorado Athletics Directors Association. Pyle, I know it's me today, but I'm not seeing a lot of activity on the text line. Now, in the interest of full disclosure, it might be my screen. Max, are you seeing anything on your screen that would indicate that the text line is blowing up? You're not. Okay. Well, Pyle, here's the deal. You're going to want to remember the number 970-242-1340. Because coming up this hour and next hour, we'll have your chance to win. We got a couple of fun things for you. Case of beer from New Belgium Brewery and High Country Beverage. No, that's Friday. Today's Coors. Coors Banquet. Still High Country Beverage. But we'll have some Coors for you. The original banquet beer with the number game. We'll have Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia coming up later this hour, or later next hour, I should say. So we'll have those up for you at 970-242-1340. It's Cake and Max today. Max in the sidecar, yours truly, Cake, a.k.a. Tired Franson, Elton Yawn, all that coming up right here on the Team Sports Network. I'm very tired. and I'm filling in for like three different people today. Peeling back the radio curtain for just a little bit. I'm Jim today. I am also our news director, Libby, today. And I'm also running back and forth for our sister station, Planet, this morning, filling in for Nikki. And that'll be an all-week thing. So, yeah.
You're doing great.
You know what? Thank you, Max. I appreciate it. I really do. I really, truly appreciate it. Anywho, you want to go around the NFL? You do? Okay. Let's do it.
Of course I do.
The latest on the Broncos and the league. It's Around the NFL on the Jim Davis Show.
All right. In case you were not aware, this past weekend was the National Football League 2024 draft held in Detroit, the Motor City. We're going to have it coming up, a conversation about it in Good Call, Bad Call coming up, brought to you by Brown's Cremation and Funeral Service. The moving of the draft around, getting it out of Radio City Music Hall in New York, not that that isn't like an iconic location, but to kind of move it around and put it in different locations, you know, Detroit, city they announced next year. We'll talk about that coming up again in Good Call, Bad Call. I kind of like the idea of them kind of shuffling it around a little bit, moving it location to location.
Detroit showed out.
They did.
Like, the European mind cannot comprehend that many Americans in one place to watch dudes in suits read names off cards.
You know?
Yes. Give me America.
Red, white, and blue, baby.
Bleep, yeah.
Red, white, and blue.
Oh, man. Show out, Detroit. Show out.
Show out, indeed. So the Broncos picked up some guys in the NFL draft. The biggest names, Bo Nix, Oregon quarterback, former Auburn quarterback. Most games played in FBS, NCAA football, 61. A lot of experience at the quarterback position. Things didn't quite work out at Auburn. He went to Oregon. Dan Lanning took him and made him into a pretty solid top 12, top 15 draft pick quarterback. One of the first six taken in the NFL draft this past weekend. And he had the chance, once he was in person, he did a phone interview on draft day, came in to do a conversation with voice of the Broncos and Dave Logan. And here's that conversation from 850 KOA, Dave Logan, with Broncos draftee Bo Nix.
Well, Bo, first and foremost, welcome to Denver. Have you ever been to Denver prior to today?
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Well, you played in Boulder. What am I thinking about?
Yeah, I played in Boulder. We stayed in downtown Denver. And then last summer, actually, my dad and I spoke at a church in Denver, and we got to spend a couple days in the summer, and the weather was awesome. And but no, I haven't been here a whole lot. This is only my third time or so, and I'm just so excited to be here. It's an awesome place.
Yeah, man, you're going to love it. I can guarantee you that. So when you got the call, and we had some video of you and your family and friends, and it was a cool setting. What was the first thing you thought of when you got that call?
The time and the effort you spend to get there, you know, it finally pays off. And then next thing you know, you're getting a call from a team that honestly that I would have chosen to play for. And, it just happens. And then honestly, you don't think about much because they're telling you so much information.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, you're trying to get on a plane, and there's a lot that goes on. But the joy, and you're like, you know what? I wanted to play here. I'm so excited. It's Denver. And just excited to get going.
That leads me to my next question. What about the Broncos or Sean Payton or a combination of both? What about that interested you to the point that you wanted to play here?
Well, I mean, with Coach Payton, you got to start there. His coaching experience and what he's been able to do with the position, you know, what he's been able to do as a coach, you knew that he was going to be one of the best coaches out there. So there's not going to be anybody that's better than Coach Payton from a, teaching and from a coaching point of view. But then from the city of Denver and, you know, the Denver Broncos, like it carries, you know, weight, you know, the logo and that name, it's valuable. And so, each and every year they can compete at a high level and they can win a lot of games. So just excited to be part of that piece.
It was reported last night that when you had your individual meeting with the Broncos and they gave you some homework the night before the meeting, that you came back and it was it was quoted as saying you blew them away with how quickly you picked that up. What did you do the night before that enabled you to kind of have that particular meeting go so well?
Well, I studied real hard, but I think I was just intentional. I wanted to learn the stuff. I wanted to, know what they were talking about. I wanted to have an understanding of what makes Coach Payton special, what that offense has done in the past, why it is elite and known by many people across the league and, in the country. And it started to be replicated in colleges, you know? And so
yep.
Some of the plays that Coach Payton has run, we ran in college and we got from. So I think just, it's a want to. It's a want to learn. It's a, a desire to learn. It's an eagerness to pick something up. But I think just from having many offenses in college, I learned five playbooks. So what's another one, right?
Yeah, you had an interesting question in your presser about your ability to process, which I know really has been one of the things that has set you apart from other players. What exactly, for people that might not know, okay, what does that mean in terms of the quarterback's ability to process? How would you quantify that?
Well, it's the ability to take the information you get and apply it to physical, aspects on the field. So what's the defense doing? What's the play supposed to be? How can you get it run exactly how the coaches want it to be run, and what are your solutions to problems that may come up if you're not expecting of it. So, and it's doing all that in probably, 2 or 3 seconds.
Right.
Every play starts with a play call. It starts with a huddle. You got to get everybody out. There may be a shift or motion or movement, and then you got the play, and then you got to see the defense, and you got to react to the defense, and then, do it as quickly as possible and be efficient when you do it. Limiting bad plays, making good plays. If something breaks down, you got to, react. And, that part is the fun part. And then I think the processing part is just the preparation part.
Last couple of questions with Broncos first-round draft choice, Bo Nix. If you could look ahead and you were writing your own story, obviously there's a jump from, you played at a high level in college football at two different places. But there is a jump from college to the NFL. Are there a couple of things that, as you think about what you will encounter, give you reason to pause in terms of, man, I know that or that will be different?
Well, I hear the speed of the game is faster, and when you watch film, you can't really tell because both sides are moving fast. So I think being in a situation, you see it for the first time, and you got to, you know, get in there and call a play and break the huddle and run the play efficiently and get everything like it needs to be done. I think that could just speed up. And if I'm not careful, you can overprocess, overanalyze, or speed it up yourself.
Right.
That's the last thing you want to do. So go in there with confidence, you know, prepare, be in the moment, understand what the play is trying to get out of. And then at the end of the day, I think you sometimes you just got to react and just got to play. And that's what, you know, what makes guys great is when, you know, stuff happens, whatever, good or bad, they just react, and their reactions, you know, are on par and really good.
You come from a family of coaches, right? Your dad was a coach, a good player, too, at Auburn. Your grandfather, I believe,
was
a coach. They always say coaches' kids are just a step or two ahead of everybody else. Why is that?
Well, I think you're just around the game, and you can you understand maybe the flow of practice. You understand, you know, play calls, and you understand, you know, signals. And when I was in sixth grade, I was spotting the footballs. I was, you know, a manager. I was doing all that stuff for my dad's college team. So, like, I was around, you know, I was trying to pick signals. I was trying to understand what the play calls were. I was watching video, watching film. I used to hate when my dad would just rewind over and over and over and over and over. I just wanted to watch the play.
That's what they do.
And now I'm rewinding over and over and over. You know, it's the fun part of it. And some guys get tired of it, but I've just, I think, grown more and more, you know, in love with it. But, you know, I think it's just a great sport and so much fun to be around, so much fun to play and compete with.
Yeah, I agree. I'll get you out of here on this one. And I'm going to put you on the spot. Think back to, not Auburn, but think back to the offense the last couple of years at Oregon. Give me a give me a reasonable play call at Oregon, and then tell me what that play means.
All right, so this is a goal line one for you. We're inside the five. We're going to go zero, which puts us under center. Zero, triple right, tight, Z short, burn Nola, Y pop, Z Fargo. So it's really going to be essentially a play action. We're going to slip the Y in the flat, fake a reverse with the Z off of a motion. And that was one of our, you know, touchdowns in the Fiesta Bowl. It didn't go how we wanted to. It was a scramble drill throw to the tight end who was supposed to be blocking. But that's sometimes how you draw it up. And it worked. But, you know, those things, I think, is a common misconception now, especially with offenses, how they're going, is that play calls aren't as long or they're not the same as, you know, NFL gets a rap for having long play calls.
Yep.
But, I mean, that one was long, and that's when you're saying in a huddle because it's a goal line play anyway. So, you know, I think the validity and being used to that is really good. Having some experience in doing that already is great. But then, you know, you have your other typical ones like, you know, trips left, brown stick or whatever, and then that's just a typical, you know, pass play.
Sure.
Very easy.
Sure.
But, you know, I think it can be as complex as you want to make it. And there's so much that goes into it.
Hey, Bronco fans are excited. Welcome to Denver, my friend.
Thank you so much.
Ah, yes. Brown stick, a real easy play. A really easy pass play. Everybody knows.
That's like a foreign language.
I wonder if sometimes if they're just like making it up as they go along.
They are. Of course they
are. You
know
what I mean?
Like, the only, like, there's 7-8 parts of that play call. Of course, it coordinates to which receiver's doing what, which back.
Pass
what
protection.
End. Pass protection, under center, shotgun snap. I mean, the names they come up with?
Spider 2 Y Banana.
Yeah, it's great. I would have a good time incorporating, like, the calls you get. Like, you know, Peyton's Omaha.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You hear a lot of others, too.
Omaha!
Right? What's Aaron Rodgers? White 80? Is it White 80?
Green 19!
Right, right?
Or
just the nonsense people speak before.
Or Dak Prescott's, yeah, here we go.
Yeah, what is that? That's bad.
Here we go.
Then again, it's the Cowboys. But anyway, yeah, that's fantastic. I would love to make up some NFL words. It'd be a good time.
It's so funny because there's no frame of reference to, like, what we would normally proceed, you know, because if you're like basing it off of like colors, right? Okay, this color means this, these color means that, you know, or numbers. This number is that, this number is that, you know, you can kind of guess. And I think half the point of those like complicated verbiage and all that stuff is so that you can't really decipher what it is just off a name alone. Because you don't want other people stealing your plays. You don't want other people stealing your signals. Would be my guess. Except it seems like it's kind of its own language in a way that everybody who's in the NFL understands it. Like you say a play like, oh, yeah, that's this, you know, and it's kind of universally understood. So it's like, what's the point of coming up with all these complicated names if everybody understands what it means? Well, maybe not everybody. Maybe not like Russell Wilson or something.
With how impressive the mics are during any broadcast you check out.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, get it sponsored. Slip in. this snap brought to you by.
Let's listen in on Sean Payton's play calling brought to you by DraftKings.
I mean, yeah.
Or Z Flip, X Right 92, Spider 2, Y Banana, X Post, Cripple Creek on one-on-one. Ready, break?
Right. You could say, like, the Fall Guy comes out this Friday.
Ryan Gosling.
Hike. Whatever it is they say. Don't say hike anymore. Sorry. I don't know.
I don't know either. All right, that was Dave Logan and Bo Nix, newly drafted Broncos quarterback. You also had George Payton from the law office of Payton & Payton. And his conversation with 850 KOA. We'll play a little bit of this. I don't think we'll play the whole thing, but we'll play just a little bit. George Payton and his post-draft analysis on what his team did.
Very excited as George Payton is going to join us here. Hey, George, good to see you, man. Appreciate it, man. Thank you. How are you?
Good. Really good.
Guy, well, you're getting text at 6 a.m.,
it's not a lot of sleep.
I can imagine you're pretty excited about it. I wanted, from a big picture standpoint, and we talked to you about this out at the combine, back-to-back drafts with the same staff, with the same coaching staff, that's got to be really important for continuity for you and for the vision of what you're trying to put together.
It's huge. It's just another year with the scouts, learning the system, the coaches, and then the trust between the coaches and scouts. And so you're not learning. Every year you're learning a new system. Now we're in the same system. The scouts are experts on what the coaches want, what Sean's vision is. So it's been really good, this process.
Maybe it's just me, but you seemed as relaxed and as loose as I've ever seen you in the after the presser last night, after the second round. Yeah. Is that a byproduct of finally having the compensation for acquiring Sean, acquiring Russ, kind of behind you? You guys are playing with a full deck again?
It is nice to have picks. I mean, I didn't like today, you know, the break we had from 5 to 7, you know, we made some trades and then, you know, I think I told Mooj, you know, I don't want this to happen again. You know, you like picking, you like having a lot of picks. So it was nice having, you know, next year we'll have a second. And so, so it's good. I felt good last night, feel better tonight or today. And so I think it was good.
I'd love to know, and this is a little bit more behind the scenes kind of conversation, but from a scouting perspective, because of players, transitioning and changing and doing the transfer portal, specifically guys like Bo Nix, right? You have Auburn and you're scouting your regional scouts there, and then you got Oregon all the way up here, the regional scouts. How do you marry up all of that when you probably have two different scouting visions with these players?
Yeah, but we've seen them. We have a national scout overseas that side part of the country, half the country, and then you have the director who sees them, you know, at both places. So we have enough coverage, and certainly have been watching Bo since he was at Auburn, early at Auburn. And so we know, you know, the whole evolution of Bo Nix as a college quarterback, certainly.
You know, I think a lot of people are going to talk about the fact that you drafted Nix and Franklin teammates, maybe less so on the Utah pair, but this is hardly a first-time thing for you. You had Benito and DTY. Yeah. You had back in the Browning and
Jonathan Cooper. And
Cooper. Yeah, you've, is that a planned thing? You guys
well,
all
it was
that, or?
In honor of the last year of the Pac-12, we wanted to really draft this. I'm a Pac-12 guy, UCLA. And so really it was more of that than anything. But no, I mean, if you can get teammates, that's never the plan, obviously. We did have some good intel from Bo yesterday here, but we knew, you know, Troy very well. But it's always good to have teammates here, you know.
Though it was an aggressive move to move up for Troy Franklin. And I did like kind of in the press conference, it sounds to me like for Coach Payton, it wasn't necessarily a direct tie to Bo Nix. He likes him and what his skill set is.
Completely independent.
Yeah.
I mean, he talked about his release quicks, just his pure speed and ability to go get it. You know, it was pretty unique. Probably really when you look at the draft, he's one who could get on top. And we watched every game of Bo for the last 2 years over and over and over. And one thing you saw was Troy Franklin getting vertical. Yeah.
All right, that's George Payton with 850 KOA doing their draft coverage. You heard a little bit of it on the first round, at least, on Thursday last week before we headed over to, I believe it was Nuggets last week. So, draft grades. The Bo Nix pick on its own, on its surface level, I can't give it any higher than a C until I see what training camp and preseason looks like. The Troy Franklin pick, however, added on top of that, kind of giving the full context, I think elevates the Bo Nix pick to a C plus, because I think the Troy Franklin pick is a solid A. I think that's definite steal. I think a lot of people, you know, we talk about how deep this wide receiver class was for the NFL. I think Troy Franklin, easy for me to say, I think him being a guy that the Broncos clearly looked at a lot because they were looking at Bo Nix, they thought, hey, you know, this is kind of a good little extra piece we could add on here. You know, we know the experiment worked when it came to Joe Burrow coming out of LSU and then the next year going ahead and picking up now his favorite target in Cincinnati and his former Cincinnati or former LSU favorite target there. Why can't I think of his name? Help me out here, Max.
Jamar Chase.
Thank you. I knew it was a J name, but I couldn't. I was like Jaden Daniels. I'm like, that's not right. Different LSU player, different LSU quarterback. Jamar Chase. They worked great at LSU. They can work great in the NFL, and they do work great in the NFL. Can we get the same results, Bo Nix to Troy Franklin? Good Lord. I mean, who knows? It's a very distinct possibility, and I think it's that reason that the Denver Broncos pulled the trigger on him. The rest of the picks, I don't fully understand the running back out of Notre Dame pick. The reason I don't get it is because, and maybe it's just because the nature of the running back position is evolving so much in the NFL right now that, you know, gone are the days of your Sean Alexander's, CJ2K's, you know, your sort of stalwart. I mean, even like a Derrick Henry is kind of a, not just because Derrick Henry's getting older, but, you know, there's the kind of, you're not going to put a running back out there and have him be your number one offensive weapon. You know, it's going to be a case where the quarterback and your quarterback's best receiver, whether that is a receiver or maybe it's a tight end, they're going to be kind of the main staples. And then your running back has to play kind of more of like a flex position. It has to be kind of more of a do-it-all type of back, not just a great runner, but a great receiver. So, you know, those days where, again, you're kind of like one staple back, you know, like a Marshawn Lynch type, those days are kind of gone in the NFL. And for a guy like Pookie for the Broncos, you know, he's kind of a part of a bygone era of that kind of power back, you know, and with, you have him and Jaleel McLaughlin. I don't understand why you need to draft a running back to come in. Maybe he's a third string option.
It's part of the Peyton offense. Go back to what he did with the Saints. Deuce McAllister, Reggie Bush. The dude loves a 1-2 punch. He's also a guy who is an options guy. He wants to give you see it reflected in the Bo Nix idea, the draft. He's smart. He can make plays. He reads and reacts. And that is what you need in a Sean Payton type of offense. So I think Sean and George are just trying to get more weapons that fill out the idea of Sean Payton's general vision for whatever the Broncos will be. Because we've talked about this before. Sean Payton is a guy who is either in charge fully or not involved whatsoever. So he's going to be making all the calls here. He's going to be giving you every in and out, the nuance of the offenses, you know, from front to back for Knicks, and then for whoever else maybe makes the cut. Because I'm not sure, like you mentioned earlier, it's Knicks' job to lose, isn't it? I mean, the incumbent thing for Zach Wilson could mean something, but nobody believes in Zach Wilson.
Well, let me counter that by saying what I think they are going to do is they're going to have the competition in training camp and in preseason where more than likely Zach Wilson will probably be your preseason game one starter. He'll get maybe one or two, at least for the first preseason game, he'll get maybe one or two drives as the starter. Bo Nix will get one or two drives as the starter of the second unit. But what I think they'll probably do is they'll have the first team unit captained under Bo Nix for that third drive. And then depending on, again, this is a total speculation. Zach Wilson, first two drives of the first team offense. Give the first team offense to Bo Nix for a drive. Then give the second team offense to Bo Nix for another drive. See how he kind of handles both. And then obviously, you know, third team, second team, third team, maybe fourth team, pass it on to Jarrett Stidham and just see what he does.
I like it. I just don't really get inspired when I take a look at that quarterback room.
I don't either.
I mean, if I were to say after the draft, what is your prediction for the Broncos post Knicks, post Franklin, post everybody else? Do you think you can win more than six with what you think you're going into, especially in the AFC West?
It's a great question. It's a fair question, and it's a question that Sean Payton's really going to have to answer for because it's his team now.
Well, yeah, you can't hide behind the rebuild. I mean, you've got this year, maybe. Payton's already on a short leash. George Payton's already on a short leash because he bought into the whole Sean Payton, Russell Wilson happy ending. You know, it was more like a married with children relationship, right?
Right.
I mean, Al is Sean Payton and Peggy is Russell, and Russell's gone now, right?
Yeah.
In his tight zebra pants and his incredibly corny offseason antics, he's gone. So it is Sean's team, and Sean's going to have to make do and deliver with the people he chose because that is what is happening. I mean,
yeah.
You don't have the infrastructure you had when you were in the places before, like the Saints, because the last few years for the Broncos have been experiments at best, and they have not panned out whatsoever. And no one ever said it was rebuilding, Tyler. No one ever said we're rebuilding.
Well,
we got Russell, we got this, we got that. No, no.
No one ever officially said.
Courtland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, you know, do you have that type of offensive weaponry in there and you're trying to rebuild? No, you were trying to win ball games, man.
And they almost did. They almost got to the playoffs. They beat the Chiefs this year. Well, we'll probably, if we get a chance, we'll dive more into a draft conversation. If you have thoughts on it, Pyle, send it into the text line. You're good, the bad, the ugly from the weekend on the text line, 970-242-1340. It's time now to play the number game.
Let's play the number game on the Jim Davis Show.
All right, so for the number game today, it's your chance to win. Thank you to our friends over at High Country Beverage. We have a case of Coors the Banquet beer from High Country Beverage. Couple of things. Obviously, you got to be over the age of 21 to participate. And if you have won within the last 2 weeks, please sit it out. Otherwise, first correct text on the text line is text only at 970-242-1340. We'll get a case of Coors Banquet beer from High Country Beverage. It's the number game, so the answer is always a number. So if your answer is the Colorado Rockies, that's wrong. But it is a Rockies question. So here you go. The number game for today. The Colorado Rockies have trailed a lot to start the 2024 MLB season. How many games so far this season has Colorado trailed? The Colorado Rockies trailing how many games so far to start 2024? First correct text on the text line, 970-242-1340, gets a case of Coors Banquet beer from our friends at High Country Beverage. Once again, the Colorado Rockies, how many games so far this season have they trailed? Get your text in now. First correct text, 970-242-1340. Gets a case of beer.
Touchdown every morning. Woo!
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back to the Jim Davis Show, a practice squad edition today with Cake and Max today, Tyler and Maximus, and yeah, killing it on the return cuts today. So, we have ourselves a winner for the number game.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Dan. Channeling my Stu Gatz there. Dan, with the correct answer today. The Colorado Rockies so far this season have trailed in 28 games to start the 2024 season. Now, Max, I'm going to throw a little bonus stat at you for this little number game factoid, okay? You ready?
Yes.
All right, so in 28 games, which is, for those keeping track at home, every game so far this season, the Rockies have trailed. They have trailed every single game to start 2024. In the history of Major League Baseball, do you know how many times it has happened where a team has started a season by trailing every single game for 28 games?
Is this the first time in history?
You're close.
Oh.
For the first time since 1910, and only the second time in the history of baseball, the Colorado Rockies have trailed in all 28 games to start this season. Stat courtesy of Patrick Lyons over on the platform formerly known as Twitter, a.k.a. the X.
Shout out to the turn of the 20th century.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. It's fantastic. All right. Quick on-air production meeting. Do you have the music bed for the four-down territory / good call, bad call? The four-and-a-half-minute long one? You do? Okay. Let us now dive into Brown's cremation, good call, bad call.
Was that a good call, or did they totally blow it? It's good call or bad call.
All right. Brown's cremation and funeral service, good call, bad call. It is a good call to get your funeral arrangements and your cremation arrangements made beforehand. It is a bad call to leave that up to your family in their time of grief. They might not make the decisions that you wanted to, so make sure that you get that figured out beforehand. Visit brownscremationservice.com for more information. For a good call, bad call today, we mentioned it a little earlier, the NFL draft moving around, shuffling around, going away from New York, now moving about. They've done, I think, did they do Chicago, or am I thinking of, or did they do Los Angeles?
L.A.
Okay. So they did L.A. They did Detroit this most recent weekend. They announced where the next draft is going to be held. And I'm going to say this is a good call, could become a bad call. It's a good call that the NFL is moving the draft around. That's a good call. They announced that the draft is going to be held next year in Green Bay, Wisconsin at Lambeau Field. Now, that could be a good call because we obviously know the history of the Packers. Frozen tundra. It's an historic NFL site. We know that that's going to be huge, and Packers fans are going to turn up, and it's going to be huge. It's going to be great. Except, this is where I think it could be a bad call. I don't know why the NFL is planning on doing a relatively outdoor event in Wisconsin in April. That is gambling with your health right there.
I don't know if the infrastructure at Green Bay could handle that many people either, man.
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
Like Lays of cheese like they do in Hawaii, but it's cheese. It's like, welcome. Moving on, staying in the NFL draft. Good call, bad call. I got a bit of both. I like to double you up, of course.
All right.
the Atlanta Falcons. Good call. Taking Michael Penix Jr.
You think it's a good
selection?
Call.
Absolutely.
Okay.
There's a lot of good examples of letting somebody young grow under an already established quarterback like Kirk Cousins. Raheem Morris is excited. He went on record to compare his situation with the Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift romance. He feels like Taylor, Terry Fontenot, the GM of the Falcons. He's Travis. It's a beautiful thing. But the bad call? Would somebody please tell Arthur Blank what is going on so he doesn't look like a kindly old man with a little bit of dementia wandering into an NFL draft meeting? Can we do that? Can you tell the guy? I know he's a billionaire, and I know he's like by proxy, you assume he might be smart because he made that much money, the Home Depot money. But if you're gonna be involved, like if you're gonna be an owner and right. Be involved. Don't be taken by surprise on national media about why your team is doing what it did. That's a bad call. That's a bad look.
It's a bad. Yeah, that's fair. Now it's interesting you say that Michael Penix Jr. drafting was a good call. I think it was a bad call, to be honest, because. You
want to win now. I get it. You might want to win now with Kirk Cousins.
Well, it's not even.
Wait a minute. Whoever has won now with Kirk Cousins?
Fair.
Who has won now with Kirk Cousins?
But you paid him so much money and yeah, you agreed to a 4-year deal.
The Vikings paid him money. Kirk is really good at this. Kirk is really good at leveraging one season into straight max cash, baby.
But see.
Get that Jay Cutler money and don't do anything with it.
Well, hold on. Yeah. By the time Kirk Cousins' contract runs up, Michael Penix is going to be like 28.
Wait a minute. Let's take a look at the one franchise, and you mentioned it, yours, Green Bay. How many franchises out there would like that mold for the past 30 years?
Four years
of quarterbacking.
It's different because by the time Jordan Love stepped into a starting role, he was 24, 25. Michael Penix Jr., if Kirk Cousins' entire contract plays out, he's going to be like 28, and I say that as someone who just turned 29 and is staring down the barrel of 30, can't believe I'm saying it in this context, but, you know, that's not his rookie option, his fifth year option, if the Falcons pick it up, is going to, you know, have to be taken
by
the time.
That's a great call, right? They have the future in case Kirk doesn't work out, and they have tools to win now. They do. The Falcons do. I understand getting a splashy wide receiver because of the class, how good it was this year, Tyler. I get it. You know, get a tight end, Kyle Pitts, you know, give him some more love, right? Get him the ball. Desmond Ridder didn't get anybody the ball. I mean, Bijan Robinson, man, he had a great start to the year, and then all of a sudden.
Fair enough. I will say this. I think you're one of the only people that think it was a good choice, Michael Penix Jr. to the Falcons, but that's just me. That is good call, bad call from Brown's Cremation and Funeral Service. Good call to get your funeral and cremation arrangements made beforehand. Bad call to leave that up to your family members after you're gone. Make sure you are in control and call Brown's Cremation and Funeral Service or visit their website, brownscremationservice.com. When we come back, Mighty Mavs and Prep Stars of the Week. That's coming up. This is the Jim Davis Show, Practice Squad Edition on Colorado Sports Leader, the Team.
Who do I listen to?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader.
Whoever suggested that has got to be smoking crack and plenty of it.
Whoa.
The Team. No one can stop us now. It's time to let the stars shine. It's Prep Stars on the Jim Davis Show.
It is Prep Stars and Mighty Mavs today on the Team Sports Network. For Prep Stars, for my male prep star today, I'm going with Grand Junction boys lacrosse player Tristan Brinton, who had five goals against Durango in the Tigers' 16-6 win over the Demons. And for my female prep star, I'm going with Palisades Soccer, not Mia DeViegas-Decker this week, although she did score two goals, but Taylor Balding, a hat trick in Palisades, 5-0 win over Telluride.
I got Dayton Timbreza striking out 7 over 5 innings to power the Central Warriors in a very good, very close game over the weekend on the baseball diamond. They beat their rival, the Tigers of Grand Junction, 3-2 behind Timbreza's great outing on the bump. For me, it was MDVD, man. I mean, you got, of course, Taylor Balding, the hat trick, and then the super amazing senior MDVD is Mia DeVillegas-Decker. She got two goals in the big win and really rounded out an impressive team victory for the Bulldogs.
And I want to correct myself. It was against Summit, not against Telluride. I literally wrote it down in front of me, and I screwed it up. All right, that's Prep Stars. Now let's go to Mighty Mavs.
The best of CMU sports. It's Mighty Mavs on the Jim Davis Show.
Mighty Mav today on the men's side. I'm going with Colorado Mesa men's lacrosse, James Steinke. He was the RMAC tournament MVP and scored the game-winning goal in the RMAC championship game against Concordia Irvine. Gave me an opportunity to announce it in my big PA announcer voice. It was a lot of fun. On the women's side, going with CMU softball's Maya Arrieta, setting all kinds of records this year. The hometown product with the RMAC single season home run record with 26.
I got a big shout out to CMU's track and field squad, both sides. The triple jumpers, Miller Jones, Zace Buchhold, Eddie Kerjak swept the podium at the RMAC Championships for the triple jump. They're also pretty good at other jumping events. Zace and Eddie do high jump as well, and long jump, pretty good right there. On the other side, it was Katie Thompson, my Mighty Mav, the heptathlon silver place finisher for the CMU women at the RMAC Championships. The heptathlon, 7 events. No steeplechase, though, in case you're wondering.
Still really good, though. Still excellent, excellent work. Even despite the kind of crappy weather this past weekend, lot of stuff over at CMU this past weekend, and they got it all done. I'll give a shout out to our good buddy Dave Yonke and all the hard work that he and his crew put in. And I'll give a little behind the scenes here. They were having some technical issues at the men's lacrosse championship game, and so they had to resort to keeping paper stats, and they did it like that professionally. Chris Day up there, Taya helping out as well. So lots of credit to the stats crew and the SIDs over at Colorado Mesa for all their hard work and for helping us too, because, you know, they give us all the information we need so that we don't sound like total and complete idiots when we do games for them. And Mav Day, by the way, tomorrow, they'll have conversations, Jim and the Buckeye Boy will, with Colorado Mesa coaches and athletes. We will also today have a conversation with CMU head football coach Miles Cochaver. We'll have him coming up at 9:40 in a little bit, about less than an hour from now. And we'll talk about the spring game. We'll wrap up that. I want to ask him, too, because he talked about their upcoming matchup in Texas. I believe he said against Kingsville. But we'll have to double check because they're trying to raise money for that, and they were at the after the spring game, they did a reverse tailgate trying to raise some money for that trip coming up, and we'll ask him how that went and what other, if they have any other ideas in the works about potential fundraising opportunities for those, you know, travel, because let's be honest, college football traveling at the D2 level, gotta raise some of those, gotta raise some funds. It's not all, we can't all be Coach Prime, you know? We gotta grind. We gotta put in the work for it for those kids over at CMU. So that's what's coming up. 9:40, we'll talk with Miles Cochaver. Let's hop on to the Magic. I knew I was gonna do that. I'm on like 5 different stations today. Team text line, 970-242-1340. From Mike in Scottsdale. Good morning, muchachos and tackling dummies. Thanks, Mike. Jim probably had to wear a suit for the award ceremony, which he absolutely loathes. He'll have to wear a suit at the JUCO banquet, too. So that'll be twice in a month. Do we start to get nervous if the Lakers win tonight and Blue Arrow has injury concerns for the rest of the series? Yes, we do. I'll say this. After the after game 3, when LeBron and AD were at their joint press conference saying, you know, give the Nuggets credit and they played harder and all that, they really, really sounded just defeated. like the air was let out of the balloon. Like the energy was just sucked out. It really did feel like going into game four that they were not going to be able to hold off the inevitable. But then you heard Michael Malone say it, that, you know, they had difficulty in the paint. They gave up a high percentage of shots in the paint to the Lakers. So they didn't have to go to the, you know, to the perimeter. They didn't have to play outside the paint or outside the elbow. They could make shots inside. Didn't particularly defend well interior, which is a little bit concerning considering that a guy like Aaron Gordon you'd think would be like prime number one defender for that, you know, for that whole thing. Yeah, Jamal Murray, a left calf strain. Questionable for tonight. I don't know. Because then the problem is that who do you go to the bench to replace that guy? Reggie Jackson, when we talked with Scott Hastings a couple weeks ago before the playoffs, he mentioned that when Jamal went down for a few games this season and Reggie Jackson was kind of put in, and Reggie Jackson is good to go for tonight. He had a little bit of a hiccup, but he should be good to go tonight. But when Reggie Jackson was in for Jamal Murray, he kind of struggled because he wasn't supposed to be this replacement in terms of the number of minutes for Jamal Murray. He was kind of, you know, come in as relief, get a few minutes off the bench and lead the second unit. Now he was expecting to come in when Jamal Murray got hurt and he played more minutes and he got more tired and he kind of, you know, it kind of showed. So again, we'll see if that's going to impact tonight. I'm going to say I'm cautiously optimistic that Jamal Murray's good to go tonight. If he is questionable, it hopefully means that there is a window for him to be able to play tonight. As someone who gets calf cramps, I don't know if it's the same feeling necessarily, but I know it hurts and I know it sucks to try to walk on.
Are you comparing yourself to Jamal Murray?
God, no. God, no. I didn't say that. I just said I know that there is, you know, that muscle, if it hurts, will you shut up? Will you? You're laughing over there. You monster. You are. You know what you are, Max?
Yeah, I know, Jamal. Hey, I hear you, Jamal Murray. I've had a calf cramp before, too, brother. It's painful.
You are a monster. You are a monster and a fiend. You are a villain, my friend. You are an absolute menace, terror. Of course I'm not comparing myself to Jamal Murray.
Been there, Jamal.
I'm not comparing.
Been there.
I'm not comparing myself to Jamal Murray, you knob. I'm just saying calves are one of those muscles that when they hurt, it really makes it difficult to do a lot of things. Walk, let alone play basketball.
Ask the Milwaukee Bucks how they feel about calves right now.
I hate you.
Good.
I love you, but like, I'm mad at you right now. Putting words in my mouth.
Are your calves okay?
You're number one, buddy. You are a number one.
Is that a freedom pistol? That was a freedom pistol.
All right.
Birds are flying.
You know, I was looking forward to today. I really was. I knew it was going to be busy.
That is your mistake.
Listen, I had to come in to do news this morning. By the way, if you're hearing our middle of the hour breaks where it's back-to-back me doing the sports updates and the news updates, I'm not a narcissist. I just happen to be filling in for three different people this week.
All cake, all the time.
Yeah, if you hate the sound of my voice, today is not your day. It is not your day today. No, I did not compare myself to Jamal Murray. I said that sometimes, that when there is aches and pains in the calf muscle, it makes things more difficult. And if you're a guy like Jamal Murray, a professional basketball player, I can imagine it would be harder to play basketball when that muscle's hurting. That's all I was saying.
Been there, J-Dog. Me and Jamal Murray are basically the same person.
I hate you so much right now. Why do you antagonize me? Every time we do this show together, no matter what it is, no matter what the context is, You always find a way.
Hey, Dylan.
Poke the bear.
Hey, Dylan knows how entertaining it is. He's already on the text board asking for another pickleball rant. Tyler?
We gotta go to break.
Bringing out the best in you, sir.
We gotta go to break. So we'll do something next hour. Miles Kochaver will join us at 9:40 next hour. This is the Jim Davis Show, or what's left of it, on the Team Sports Network.